Friday the 1st of February, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Mishpatim, Tov Hei Shvat, Rabbi Yaakov Hema, the month of Adar.
Good morning, everyone. They say about Yecheskel Levenstein, he says that when he was a Bachan Yeshiva during the month of Elul, he says the Mashgiach would take all the Bachan into a room, Shal Shudis, and tell them about Elul, and how the pach of the person is supposed to feel, the fright, Yom HaDin. Says to the extent that after a while all the boys have burst out in tears, everyone was together crying. They say that great tzaddik in the Chavetz Chaim, they saw Salam to Shabbos Mubarak and Elul, they would faint, pachad. That was one type of bacha, that was one type of individual. Then there's the other type of individual, which perhaps you remember from Yeshiva days, Shabbos Mubarak and Adar, oh, Adar's coming, Purim's coming, Seder Zman, different type of approach. With that Hakdama in mind, you'll see which type of bacha I was in Yeshiva. I would like to speak a little bit about the month of Adar, Shabbos Mubarakim, and even though perhaps you'll ask, the Gemara says Mishnah is Adar Marbim B'Simcha, the simple implication, the Mashmos, is that it's referring to the second Adar, not the first. Because Rashi says over there that it's time of Simcha because of the days of Nisan, the days of miracles, of Purim and of Pesach. So that, in theory, has to do only with Adar Sheni, not with Adar Rishon. We know that we pass it if a person does the mitzvahs of Purim in Adar Rishon, they don't fulfill any obligation. They have to do it again in Adar Sheni. But nonetheless, Adar, even Adar Rishon, is still Adar. And Yonatan Eibishit says that, you know, the good mazel, which we know that Chazal tell us, someone who has a din, someone has some type of a judgment with a guy, they should push him off. So Adar says to Yonatan and Eibishit that the same mazel, which, you know, the mazel of Adar is the mazel of Dagim, but the positive, the auspicious time of Adar, he says it's referring to both months, both Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni. Yerushalmi actually says that when Haman made his pur, he made his geirah, it fell on Adar Rishon. It was an Adar Rishon, not an Adar Sheni. It was that year there were two Adars, and it fell on Adar Rishon. And even to the extent that there's a machlekes in the Gemara and Shkolim, machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, when there is an Ibayah and there's two Adars, which Adar do you write Adar Stam, like in Shtaris, Balach in Chesh Mishpat? Do you write Adar Rishon as the Adar Stam, and then when it comes to Adar Sheni, then you write Adar Sheni? Or do you write, is Adar Sheni the Stam Adar? Rabbi Yehuda says the Adar Rishon, that's the Stam Adar. Some passing like that, because usually when we have an argument between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, we passing like Rabbi Yehuda. So with that in mind, I would like to speak a little bit about the month of Adar, and I'd like to say over some ideas which I heard from Rabbi Lapiansky, who actually spoke here last year on Parshas Mishpatim. First question, the first ha'ara to point out is this: we mentioned that the month of Adar is associated with the mazel of dogim, of fish. I'd like to try and understand a little bit more what does that mean. Secondly, we find in many Sfarim they tell us that Yosef HaTzadik, he is the shevet which is associated with Adar. And obviously on a simple level we understand, just like there's two Adars, he had two Shvatim. What does it mean that Yosef HaTzadik is associated with the month of Adar? Chazal tell us, Farshim bring, that, you know, every single month of the year, besides having a Shevet, which it corresponds to, and the mazel, there is also some limb, some aver of the body which is associated with that month. And the limb which is associated and corresponds to the month of Adar is the spleen, the tchoil. I'm not a doctor, but I would like to try and explain and understand a little bit what does a spleen have to do with the month of Adar. Also, we know in Lashon HaKodesh, when we refer to a year with an extra month, it's called Shana Muberes, Iber Yar. We don't call it the Chodesh HaNoisef. We don't use the Lashon of Hosafa, an additional. We use the Lashon of Ibor, of like an impregnated year. What does it mean? What is this Lashon of Muberes specifically, as opposed to a Lashon of Hosafa, an addition? And the mountain, the Gala Amukah, is when he's speaking about this concept of an Ibrayar and about the month of Adar. He says, where is there a remez to this idea? And the remez that Adar has within it, this concept, this idea of Ibor, to bring in within itself another month. He brings a remez from the words, the Erev Yalim Be'achivel Abayke Rino. Say every morning in davening, Rashi Tevis, Be'erev Yalim Be'achivel Abayke Rino, is Ibor. What does that have to do with the concept of an Ibor Yashanam Oberis, and specifically with Adar? So again, Mazel Dogim, what does Dogim have to do with Adar? Yesev Atzadik, the spleen. Choyl has to do with Adar, and Shanim Uberis, specifically this Lashon of Ibor. And finally, Be'erev Yalim Be'achivel Abayke Rino. Now we know the first place that we find in the Torah the concept of bracha is by Dogim. Dogim is the first place to find bracha. It says, "Vayivarech Yisrael Malikim Leimar Peruvu Revu Milah Samayim Beyamim Va'eif Yirev Va'aretz." Says Rashi, "Vayivarech Yisrael Hashem gave a bracha to the Dogim. The Fishim Chashim Yisrael Mitzadim Mehem Va'eichlam Yisrael." Why was it necessary to give a blessing to the fish? Because they're trapped, they're hunted, people eat them. Therefore, it's a chulah bracha. That's the place where you find bracha the first time. Now, what does peru uruvu? What is this double lashon peru uruvu? Rashi says peru lashon peri, kolema asu peris. You should make fruit. You should make peris. Uruvu imloy amar ela peru. Had the Torah had Hashem only said peru, haya echad meilad echad v'lo yesa, then one fish would have spawned one other fish. Uba uruvu she'echad meilad harbe. Hence the lashon of uruvu, that one fish can spawn several fish. So the question is, if we're to understand that there is a difference between the words peru and uruvu, that peru just has an indication of producing one, and uruvu means many. So obviously the simple question which we would ask is, just say Uruvu. As we know that sometimes we have a concept, a Toshev and a Sacher concept, sometimes we say they have the Torah only wrote one Lashon, one word, perhaps I would have said that word doesn't necessarily mean what I now know it means, and it's only in light of the fact that I've got another word that I can differentiate between the two and say, oh, right, this word means A and this word means B, right? But it's a little bit difficult to say over here that that's what peru uruvu means. It's only because it says the word peru, therefore uruvu means several, means more. One would have thought that the actual word peru means one is being made one, and uruvu means one is made several. So if that is the connotation, if that is the understanding behind the word uruvu, the question begs itself, just say uruvu, tirvu. Another place where we find this concept of peru, which perhaps could give us some understanding as to what really peru really means, what is the indication, what is it all about. I had someone who was learning the daf a couple of days ago, and the Gemara speaks about the Nahar Pras. The Gemara Machlokes over there in the Gemara, the Gemara says in Bechiris, it's also in the Darim. The Gemara says, why is Nahar Pras called Pras? Its waters paru v'ravin, they multiply. The Gemara brings from Shmuel that Shmuel says Nahara mikipe mizbarich. There is discussion in the Gemara that do we assume that when the river starts to get higher and higher, is it because of all of the rain? That's one opinion in the Gemara, or is it for a different reason? Shmuel says it's for a different reason. Nahara mikipe mizbarich. Says the Ran, what does it mean, Mikipe? Koloimanim in Mekoyroi humis gadol. From it itself, it's able to replenish itself. And the Ran explains how that works. From it itself, it's misgadol. If so, we see over here perhaps a working definition for us as to what specifically is the dogesh, is the stress, is the idea of the concept of peru. Peru means from it itself, it's able to produce. what we would say mineu bein, from in itself. Revu perhaps would just have the connotation, produce a lot, make a lot of peiros or tildes. Peru means the dogish of peru is from it itself. Mimakeru humisbarich. And therefore it seems to be that the bracha which was given to Dagim is, firstly, I'm giving you a bracha, says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, that from you yourself you can go ahead and reproduce and regenerate, and it'll be a lot. But the first idea, the first concept is the Mineu Beishabai. Mimkeru humisbarich. When we think, when we consider Yosef HaTzadik, we know Yosef was one of the Shvatim. He was one of the tribes. And in theory, in order to be a Shevet, there's only one way that you could be a Shevet. You have to have been born from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was one of the Av, and he was Molid the Shvatim. Yosef HaTzadik did something very interesting, something very unique, something very novel, that he himself was a Shevet, but from him himself, he was Molid more Shvatim. Yosef HaTzadik, he was divided into Ephraim and Menashe. He himself is this concept that Yosef HaTzadik had the capability to go ahead, so to speak, and reproduce. And that's the Lashon of the Pasuk when it says by Ephraim. Ephraim was the second child. And it says by Ephraim, Ki Ephrani Elokim and Eretz Anyi. Again, this Lashon of Peru. Yosef HaTzadik says that when I was in a situation when I had no one to help me, I was in the land of Mitzrayim, I was detached from my father's house, nonetheless, ki Ephraim Elokim be'eretz Anyi. Even though I was in such a difficult situation, nonetheless, I was able to reproduce, I was able to spread, and so on. And that's the concept of Ephraim. We find a similar idea by the Bnei Yisrael. It says, v'chashayanu, just like to the extent that they afflicted them, ken yirat v'chen yifroitz. Also, it's the same sherish, the peyresh, the sherish of yifroitz, that they were able to continue and to reproduce almost mineu bei to the extent that they were afflicted, so then there was no other choice. They had to survive. Ken yirbe v'chen yifreit. So they went and they spread. So that's the idea, the concept of bracha, by Dagim, the concept of Peru, and the concept of perhaps this idea of Peru by Yosef HaTzadik, and that he himself became another Shevet. Now, when we get to the spleen, I hope there's no doctors in the house who will show me that I'm ignorant about this subject. From the little I know about the spleen has got two basic functions. One is that it cleanses the blood, it serves as a filter, and it acts as a way to protect us. It gets rid of bacteria and viruses, debris, all different types of negative liquids in the body, and so on. And also removes the old red blood cells. That's what the tchol does, that's what the spleen does. And we know that it's a very important eva, it's one of the yudches treves. If an animal gets a necker, it gets a ruptured spleen. So it's treif, that's one of the yudches treves. We know that for a person also, if a person has a ruptured spleen, it's a life-threatening situation. A person can clearly be mechal Shabbos in such a situation. But nonetheless, we know that a person can live without a spleen. That's what's unique about the tchol, as opposed to the other traces, the other yutches traces, the rea, right, the lungs, the heart, the colors. If you don't have it, you can't live without it. But when it comes to the tchol, when it comes to the spleen, it's different. If it's ruptured, if there's a nekev in it, it causes a life-threatening situation. The animal will die, the animal is being traced. Once it's traced, it's too late, right? It's already traced. But if it's not there in the first place, if it was removed before the traces came into the animal can live and the person can live. And what's very interesting is we see from here that the concept of tchol is that the body itself is able somehow to compensate. Whatever functions the spleen was doing, the other organs of the body somehow are able to compensate for that and take over those functions. Which again is a very similar idea. It's perhaps the manifestation in the body for this type of a concept. When the situation requires that mineu bei from within myself, I need to go ahead and accommodate and come up with some type of a system which will compensate for the lack, the body itself is able to find that within itself. It doesn't need to look elsewhere. That is the concept of tchel. Very much a similar type of idea to this concept of pru, that it's the minei ubeim. We asked, what is this concept of shanamu uberis, ibur, doesn't say the chodesh hanoisaf, the extra month. And again, it's this type of an idea. It's the idea that Pesach needs to be in the spring, it needs to be in the Aviv. So the month which is responsible for ensuring that the seasons fall out, the Yom Tovim fall out in the right time, is the month of Adar. Adar is the one who is endowed, who is given this job of ensuring that everything comes out in the right time, that Pesach comes in the Aviv and so on. It's called Shanamu Beres, the concept of Ibur. And that is the idea that the Megala Mukha says, V'erev Yolim Bechi V'Labayki Rina, that is where we find this remez, the allusion to the concept of Ibur, and specifically to Adar. The idea is, like we said, that Yosef HaTzadik, he was detached, he was the first person, the Farshim say, he was the first person of Klal Yisrael, after the word of Klal Yisrael, he was the first one who was detached, who was removed from Beit Yaakov. He left Eretz Yisrael, he was by himself, he was in the Erebus Aretz, he was in the worst place, a place of Choshech, a place of immorality and so on, and he was there by himself. Right? Famous Remez, it says Yosef was Yafei Terv, Yafei Mara, Rashi Tevis Yafin. He was by himself, he was a Yidden Dolos, it was the first time in history that you had someone who was managing Dolos by themselves. And he had nowhere else to turn. And when a person's in that situation, one of two things can happen. Either the person says, I can't handle, I can't do it, I'm by myself, I don't have the wherewithal, I don't have the strength. It's a period of choshech, and perhaps when things will get better, then I'll be able to do my job properly, but now I can't. Or a person can say, even though it's difficult, even though it is choshech, it is very dark, but it must be that if I'm in this situation, I can find strength within myself. I can find kliches within myself, which perhaps I wasn't even aware up until now that I had these types of strengths. But now that I'm here, and now that the situation requires that I look deep within myself, I'll have to find it. And he says that's the allusion over here of Ibor, specifically to Adar, specifically to Yosef. That's Be'eri Yalin Bechi, was when he went into Mitzrayim and he realized and he contemplated how bad the situation was. But it's because he went within himself and he tapped onto these kriches, which he realized must be there. That's where he found his Ephraim, so to speak. That's where he found this Kifrani Elohim the Eretz Ani. That's where he found the Labayka Rino. And that really is the idea of the month of Adar. The month of Adar, if we go a little bit closer now to the Purim story. The month of Adar, we know to a certain extent, the Farshim tell us, it's the last month of the year. The year, the Jewish year starts with Nisan, and it ends with Adar. And Nisan was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself with all the Nisan, all the Niflois, all the Dalas, everything which took place in Mitzrayim. And as we go further and further away from that, to a certain extent, the spiritual danger is great. We're getting further away from this blast of Ruchnis which took place at the beginning of the year with Nisan. So we get to the very, very end of the year. And the Farshim say that Haman, when he realized, when he saw when the girl fell in the month of Adar, he was Samach Simcha Gedola. One reason the Gemara says, because he saw that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died, but he said, Yeshnei Am Echad. Chazal say, what did Haman see about the Yidden in those days? Yeshnei Amechad, Yishenim and Amitz. They're asleep. They're not doing anything with any vitality, with any frishkeit. There's nothing to them. They're Yishenim and Amitz. And to a certain extent, this month is difficult. This month perhaps is that much more precarious because it's the furthest away from the beginning, because it's the furthest away from the month of Nisan. to a certain extent, it lends itself to kriyas. It lends itself to cooling down. Some say that's also what it has to do with dogim. It's a cold-blooded species. It's a cold-blooded creature. It lends itself naturally to kriyas. But nonetheless, we realize that we have no choice. I mean, there's a gzeir lash b'laharig l'abeit. There's no choice. We don't necessarily feel that we're so connected. We have to go ahead and look very deep within ourselves and realize that even though we don't necessarily see Hashem as we once used to, even though perhaps it seems that we're supposed to go back back into Eretz Yisrael and celebrating that this is the end of the Jewish people, they're not going back into Eretz Yisrael, this is the end. No, the Kesher is still there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to forsake us. He's always going to remain with us, and so on. So this is very much the concept of the whole month of Adar and the whole Purim story. The Jewish people realize that even though we're in a situation where things seem to be very bleak, even though right now we have been yeshenim in our mitzvahs, we have to go ahead and do exactly the opposite. The Farshim say that the month of Adar also is taken from the word Adir, of strength. But on the one hand, it lends itself, it's the end, it lends itself to yeshenim in our mitzvahs. It's the furthest away from the beginning. It has to do with dogim, it has to do with kriyas, with being cold and so on. But it has within it also the capacity of Adir, of strength, of realizing that because you're so far away, because you're losing it, therefore you have to come back with new strength, with new curses, and put yourself back on track. And perhaps just to go back to the questions, understand if so, this is why the mazel of Dagon has to do with Adar, this concept of Peru, which we, as we said, the first time it appears is by the Dagon. The concept of Peru, which we said from the Gemara, is Mineu Bey Nahara Mikipe Mizbarich, that the Nahar itself, Mimkeru Mizgado, that is the concept of Dagim, that is the concept of Adar, that is the idea that the spleen is the one which is associated with this month. The body has within it the capacity to go and compensate Mineu Bey. It doesn't need to come onto any other system. I mean, if a person doesn't have a spleen, then usually they give some type of medication because the person is more prone to disease. But nonetheless, the body still, the tchol is the manifestation. It represents this concept that the body has within it kreches of mineu beyim. And that's the idea of shana muberis, and that's the idea of be'erev yolim bechiv l'beikirino. And I was just thinking to myself, I don't know if this is brought anywhere, but it just struck me that if this is the idea of Adar, if the idea of Adar is that even though this situation is leaning in one way, we take that situation and we use it as an opportunity to go to the other extreme. Right? It's a famous story, I think it was during World War I, that when a person would go on a train in Russia and it would go from Moscow to Leningrad, then all the trains, everything was off schedule, and he would end up going somewhere totally different, half an hour late, and arrive late, and people would get very upset and very frustrated, and they would go to the train conductor and they would say, "The service is so bad, what do you have to say? How do you explain such a terrible service?" And they said, "What do you expect? There's a war going on. Things don't run necessarily so smoothly." But they say at the same time, in Germany, everything was exactly the way it should be. And the trains left on the button, and the service was that much better than usual. And people said, they went over to the train conductors and they said, "Wow, it's never late, it's always getting there." And they said, "There's a war going on. We don't have any excuses. We have to make sure things are right. A person can always take something and do it one way or do the other. You get a bacher, you get someone, he becomes a chassan. The next morning he comes to the yeshiva, puts his head on the shtender, he's out for the whole morning. And he wakes up and they say, 'No, what's going on? Chassan, Torah, this, that, all different things are going on, and sleepy, tired, and asleep.'" They get another boy, also a chassan. He comes in with a bren, with a geschmack, he's learning, "No, what happened to you?" Chassan, Baruch Hashem, so excited. You can always take the same situation in life and you can use it as an excuse. Or you can say, from that very situation itself, I'm going to use that situation as an opportunity to grow and find within myself you know, latent, you know, dormant strengths which I never really knew, realized that I had it. And I was thinking perhaps that might be the word in Aramaic. I don't know if this is true. Adarabo. It's Adar and Ba. From the Ba, from the same thing itself, from this itself, I'll show you this Tachin of Adar. I'll show you, you can take it and use it for the exact opposite. You can use a situation. As Hashem, we should we have these situations in our life when push comes to shove, and we're even in a situation where we can say, look, it's difficult, it's choshech, it's dark, it's ya'ele, it's ve'erev, yalem bechi. As Hashem, we should use that situation, look into ourselves, and realize that al karchach, Hashem gave us this nesayin, that He gave us this particular difficulty came to our door. It must be that we have the kreches to steig. And we should all see within ourselves the kiyum of the labayke rina.